You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Five ninety the fan, Martin, Charlie here till one, and then the Eric Messersmith Show coming away from one until three. Some people call it the Hard Line. We know it around here. It's known within the industry as the Eric Messersmith Show. That's coming up at the top of the hour, and again tomorrow we're going to be at the Wheelhouse, counting down to Bragging Rights this Saturday, Mizzou and Illinois. The Illini have won 13 of the last 17. Right now we switch it up, we talk it over with the former Ram, David Vibora. And I always feel bad when that Mr. Irrelevant, it just sounds so insulting, yet it was a badge of honor. He's doing great things post-football. David, how are you?
Hey, Martin. Good to be on with you guys today.
Now, did you ever take offense to that Mr. Irrelevant?
You know, look, I got drafted in the NFL. You call me Mr. Anything you want, right? Like, I was happy. I was able to carve out a good career with the Rams and then on to the Seahawks. And to me, like, that is a badge of honor, like you said, and there's a way to use that platform, and I think that's for anyone. Anytime they're called something, you can look at that as how you play that to your advantage.
Hey, David, do you know the percentages of how many Mr. Irrelevants actually play in a regular season NFL game? I'm guessing a lot of them never even suit up, right?
Yeah, well, I'm allergic to math, but that said, from a percentage standpoint, I know that I was one of the first over a long time that helped to encourage those statistics in the right direction for Mr. Irrelevant.
And I'm thinking that class, 2008, nearly 10 years ago, Chris Long would have been the first rounder that year. I'm forgetting some of the other
people. Donnie Avery?
Yeah, who do you keep tabs with? You stay in touch with any of your former Ram teammates?
Yeah, I really do. Chris Long and I talk weekly. It was, one of my best friends while I was there and just an amazing human. And what's cool is, he was the first pick. I was the last. We instantly became friends, which I think just shows the spectrum of, the value on an NFL team and the people that are on the field to, to bring success. But I love Chris. I'm excited about all of his recent success. I speak with Danny Amendola quite often. He wasn't part of that draft class, but obviously has had immense success up there in New England. So it's fun, it hurts my heart at times for the city of St. Louis, but it is great to see the Rams succeeding. I was out there in November and was honored on the field, and it was just a really cool environment to be back with the Rams.
Hey, David, I'm trying to think. Current Rams players, how many did you play with? Would it be Roger Saffold, and that's about it?
That was it, man. What a trip. Yeah, I've enjoyed chatting with Roger out there, but, man, isn't that crazy? That was it.
And I'm thinking of Chris Long in St. Louis, and we've done the math. It's something like 128 games, and they lost 88 of those games. So he goes to New England, wins a Super Bowl. He's in Philadelphia. They could win another Super Bowl. I think it's karma. I think Chris, he stacked up enough losses that the football gods finally switched it in his favor.
Well, I think I'm experiencing a little bit of that karma then, too, because, I won 9 total games in my 4 years at the University of Idaho. Didn't win a whole lot more there in St. Louis, and I think that sometimes, losing is the necessary, thing that comes before you enjoy the success and winning, because I think it gives you a better framework for enjoying that, and I've just been so, it's been so awe-inspiring to watch Chris.
All right, some people have heard the story, David Vibora, life after football, living in Dallas. Walk us through it again. You've got a gym, you start training people, and how does it grow from there into what has really become an unbelievable inspiring story? Give us, kind of walk us through how this all evolved.
I think you got to start at the bottom. When I was in Seattle, I endured a pretty rough shoulder injury, and one thing led to another, and it was easier to cope with pain medication than to look myself in the mirror and think about life after football. And Mr. Irrelevant, you had to have tunnel vision to create success, and at some level, I achieved that, and yet I didn't know who I was looking at in the mirror. And so that was the genesis, I think, of hitting a rock bottom, of enduring a drug detox, and then picking up the pieces and saying, well, who's David, and where do my gifts match outside of the arena of football? And so as I got healthy, I was prepared to go back to the NFL, and I chose to retire. I started a gym here in Dallas and started training athletes, and one day a quadruple amputee, Staff Sergeant Travis Mills of the 82nd Airborne, served our country, got blown up, lost all 4 limbs, one of 5 living to do that. And he came in the gym, and I just challenged him to work out. I don't know if it was a little bit of just arrogance on my part or just kind of curiosity, I just kind of went up to him and I challenged him. And all of a sudden, he was working out alongside our NFL players, and everyone lost their excuses. And that was the type of perspective that I wanted to offer all people. So 3 years ago, I started a nonprofit, the Adaptive Training Foundation, here in Dallas, and we train people with physical disabilities, not just veterans, but civilians as well. And it's amazing to watch people in our nine-week program just transform their lives in a meaningful way that they then pass the torch and pay it forward by training others like them and becoming certified to work at our gym. So, you know, it's just a really cool movement. Been grateful for a ton of support, Starbucks and Howard Schultz, you know, being able to visit with Obama in the White House when he was in office. President Bush came and visited the gym, got to go on Ellen, and these are all great things, but I can promise you that those all happen as a response to me recognizing that my gifts can match somebody's needs, and the gym was where I found my passion, and so that's how I exported it.
Well, David, I'm sure you had a lot of fun playing in the NFL, but post-football now, how gratifying is it on a day-to-day basis to see these inspiring stories and just be a part of that and see these guys and gals right in front of you who have gone through so much but striving to still do more?
Yeah, you don't have to look far for motivation. You know, I think that people don't see the hours and hours, much like the NFL, they don't see the hours and hours and hours that go in to create success. And, you know, you're talking about 80 hours to get that culminated moment when someone walks for the first time post-injury. And that may have taken 6 years. But it is a very visible and kind of visceral reaction. And so when you have a tribe of people that all are coming to equally work on themselves as much as they're there to champion and cheer you on, like, that's an environment that I think just breeds greatness. And that's what I want to be around. So I find extreme fulfillment in it. You know, I've got two little girls now and a beautiful wife. And my little girls, they don't see these people as broken, right? They see them as whole people, and I think that's a lesson for all of us, to look at people in their eyes and treat them like whole people.
So has this grown from, you know, early on you meet a veteran, and then the word sort of gets out, do you have more of a program now for veterans who've been wounded or injured, and are they sort of seeking out your gym? And I think a lot of this, you know, people that hear these stories, it's not just, hey, they're lifting weights. A lot of it is overcoming depression, mental anxiety. Yeah. Having something to do. We've done stories at Fox 2 about golfing programs, and it's not about hitting the ball 300 yards. It's about physical activity. Yep. Has this, because you've got a gym there and you're training, you know, top-end athletes, how much of your business out of it has turned into helping our veterans?
Yeah, I think the two have championed each other, and they're mutually exclusive to what the energy and the attitude of this gym is. Like, we believe in community, right? A tribe and a new ridgeline. And whether you're a veteran or civilian, right, there's a lot of just consistencies in human nature after trauma. And you're right, there's post-traumatic stress. There's this part of earning trust. And so it's up to us to create a psychosocial healing dynamic that offers people this lens to be able to feel comfortable and yet be driven and be pushed to go to that uncomfortable place. And so we're just about to move into 18,000 square feet here in Dallas. That'll be in February, big grand opening in March. And then we're actually partnering with Arizona State University. That'll be a big announcement in the spring. And we're going to talk about a sister site there and building this train the trainer certification so that we can, frankly, answer the call for over 10 million Americans with a physical disability. Here's a way outside of the spectrum of the government, outside of the spectrum of healthcare, to get people support and help and community and really transform lives.
David Vibora, the former Rams linebacker, doing great things in Dallas. If people want to read more about it, I know they could probably even Google and find some of the video pieces that have been done. Where's the best way for them to find more information?
Yeah, go to Team ATF, teamatf.org. You can search Adaptive Training Foundation or just search my name. I mean, a litany of things will come up, and about social media. And we're just really proud of the individuals that we serve. And you know, there's a lot more out there that need the same type of support. And so we're passionate about keeping it cost-free. And I always say this to people, like, it's never about equal contribution. It's always about equal sacrifice. And if that means that, you know, you want to buy a T-shirt and wear our message out in the world, then that's great. And I just encourage people to take a look at that.
Charlie, there's a guy who heard about the four pillars from Steve Spagnuolo, and we poke a little fun at Spags, but there's a guy who's actually living. He rattled off some of his
faith,
foundations.
No, character, core values, team first.
And I'm saying Vibora is actually living the pillars there in Dallas.
You know what's really cool? I got the opportunity to go out and speak to the Giants a couple of weeks ago, right before Spags ended up taking over, and it was really special to speak to the team, share this exact same story, and to just, you know, encourage NFL guys to look beyond the game, even though they have to have tunnel vision, right, during, you know, when they're in. Just what is it that they feel inspired to go and do post-football? Because I think if more guys did that, you'd see athletes, you know, creating a massive impact.
And, David, I'm wondering, being 31, in a way, and you're doing such great work after football anyway, in a way, though, do you feel also you know, satisfied with the fact that you played in the NFL and you got out of the game with your health, where obviously there's a lot of players, I'm sure some of them even in your age and your teammates, who are going to struggle with some injuries and some things down the road because of the violence of football?
Yeah, I feel very grateful for the place that I'm in. You know, and I think everyone has their own past and timeline, and at some point it becomes that point for you. And then it's just kind of listening to that voice inside. You know, I was in Dallas a year into what I was doing, and I was sitting across from a Navy SEAL, former commanding officer of SEAL Team 5, Clint Bruce, played in the NFL briefly. And when the Cowboys called because Sean Lee got hurt. And, you know, I'd been retired for a year, and I remember, I'll never forget it, Clint looked at me as I hung up the phone with my agent, and he said, "Do you want to know what I think you're thinking?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "I don't think you're ready to push pause on the stuff that you're doing right here. I think football is familiar." I wrestled with it, right? I was in my city. I was here with my family. I mean, it would have been a great fit. And trust me, the paychecks in the NFL would have looked a lot nicer than the nonprofit ones. And I that moment, he was right. And I picked up my phone. I called my agent. I said, "Hey, man, I'm retired." And I think that was a very specific point for me, a turning point of commitment toward, you know, what I felt the call was. And, you know, people, they get that in different instances, and you just have to be bold enough to believe in it.
David, great to talk to you. We thought, especially in the holiday season here, it's a fun message to send out there, and you've gotten some great press. And again, people can find out more. David Bavora, working with our wounded vets down there in Dallas. Merry Christmas, and hopefully we'll talk to you next year.
Martin, Charlie, thank you guys so much, man. I mean, when people like you give this platform to share this message, man, it just warms my heart, so thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I was waiting for the Charlie thanks. I laid back there.
That's my thing, no, man.
Normally you hop right in. You waited a little bit.
Well, he wasn't done talking. Good dude, David
Bavora.
See,
Bavora. That's the thing. The Rams are gone, but some of the great people. We had Chris Long on the show a while ago. Fun to share that story. Amazing what he's been able to do with the wounded vets.
So I forgot to ask him, because I just checked the text line. It just came in. We forgot to ask him about the LeBaron. Remember, he was famous for having the old car. And I think he kind of souped it up, but he had his old car that he had in the parking lot at Rams Park, and people kind of joked him about it. But then I think he almost got it like the whole Pimp My Ride, where he got it really kind of suited and booted with all the bells and whistles.
It's like the smartest thing to do. If you're surrounded by guys making millions, you just roll in with the dumpy-looking car, and they're like, "Dude, you got to do better." And you just say, I wish I could, but I can't. And then they're like, "Here, call my guy. Just have him send me the bill." Someone like Chris Long probably did that for him.
But the other question, see,
he went to the Playboy Mansion because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
I know we've talked to him in the past about all the perks he got.
I'm just a bad interviewer, but another text coming in. Please ask Bavora about winning his lawsuit against the vitamin company that got him busted for PEDs in the NFL. And it's a good story, because whenever you hear that a player gets busted for something, and we all always assume that person did that. David Bavora is the one person I can remember that actually was found not guilty of that and won his lawsuit, and that company was supposed to pay him, I think, $5.4 million. So I wonder if he ever got that cash.
I know Frank and I were talking about it. I guess I felt like we talked about it, but now with him. Frank brought that up last hour and said, "I'll never forget how adamant he was." And everybody always says, "I didn't do it, I didn't know it." But he was able to actually prove, because he went to the league and said, "Here's what I'm taking. Is this okay?" And they said, "Sounds good." And then he took it, and they're like, "That's illegal." And he's like, "Wait a minute, I came to you guys and said, here's exactly what I'm taking."
It's because the supplement company, there was an ingredient in there that they had not listed on the bottle.
Hey, don't forget this holiday season to go to Cardinals.com and get those packages. You can get the bobblehead pack, the Cubs pack, the Friday pack, all these special packages for you at Cardinals.com. Check out all the ticket packages this holiday season. An easy gift to give. Put it in the stocking. You can put it in a box, Charlie. You can wrap it up and put it in a box if you'd like. Cardinals.com for your ticket packages. Again, all sorts of packs, whether it's the bobblehead, the Cubs pack, the Friday pack, the Sunday pack, hang out with Martin and Charlie pack. There's all kinds of different packages available at Cardinals.com. Let's do this. Let's get into the grinder.
You get too careful. your whole life can become a Falcon.
Grind. Grinding every day.
Grinding it out.
It's grind time.
This is the grinder.
The grinder.
The grinder.
24 karat gold grinder.
Gonna try grinder for the first time.
Did you guys see that block Hassan French had last night in the Billikens game?
I did.
It's about 8 minutes left in the game. Sally, I know you were down there. I'm not sure who the player was for Campbell University. I think you had documented it on Twitter.
Yeah, it was like in the final, actually, a couple minutes of the game, and the player, it looked like, was going up for an easy dunk, and Hassan didn't just stop him. All ball got the player down basically on his back just by swatting the ball away.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Embarrassing for that guy. So, I looked over. I wanted to see not what the reaction was of the Billikens bench. I wanted to see how Rammer and Earl were reacting. The first thing I saw was Rammer's head just going up and down, and I could just see him screaming. So I knew he was into it. And then a few seconds go by, and I see Earl just start smiling, and then Earl just starts clapping. He was into it as well, and I'm like, yeah, that's...
That's tremendous block.
Kenny Brown rump roasting. So I was just like, yeah, that's the play of the game right there. That's a signature moment so far, I think, for Hassan French and what he can be. Because he did have some good work on the glass last night, too. It was fun to watch him rebound and just get around, motor around. But I texted Rammer. I do some ghostwriting for him from time to time. And I go, we've gone from the French connection to the French rejection.
Oh, my.
That's really good.
Oh, my.
He told Earl about the call, or about that idea.
Earl said, good, Chris.
Earl said to me after the game, that's as good as H-bomb for the H. Waldman days.
Ooh.
So I think you're going to be hearing the French rejection from now on in the Billikens broadcast.
And he's only a freshman, and he blocks a lot of shots. So this is going to get a lot of play here.
Yeah. I like it.
That is pretty good.
It's funny you say that, because yesterday at Fox 2, we did a story on Hassan French. And when we're running the video of the players, we try to put up a little chyron with something witty, or maybe it's a stat. And I did suggest the French connection. Martin didn't want to put that up there, but the French rejection, because he leads the team in blocks, entering last night, I believe, 2.3 per game, that is perfect.
If my sidekick yesterday had said French rejection, I would have used it on TV. French connection, it felt a little...
You guys used the French mistake?
The French mistake?
It's from Blazing Saddles.
I don't remember.
I think French rejection is good, though.
Hands on your hips. Give them a push before you know you're doing the French mistake. Voila!
Okay.
So I'm actually trying to get them to go voila during the game too.
Yeah.
It's a little esoteric, but if you get it, you'll laugh in that regard. This is the kind of stuff I like to do while watching a game. So,
of all the lines in Blazing Saddles, all the memorable scenes, that one sort of faded into my background.
Very catchy tune.
That's Hedley Lamar.
Yeah. You might want to look up French Mistake, though, too. You probably can't use it. Probably don't want to use it on television. You got to go to Urban Dictionary, I think, as well.
Uh-oh.
This town hall meeting the Marlins put on last night, I started having flashbacks when reading about some of it. Like, one of the things that got me was, this is a tweet from Barry Jackson, who covers the Marlins, and I think all the teams. She's a columnist down in Southern Florida. One angry fan about delinquent ushers at stadium tells Jeter, I emailed you. Said Jeter, you don't have my email address. So I don't know who this person was emailing. They got the wrong... here's what I just want to tell this person. You obviously have the wrong email address. I don't know if you're using something official on the Marlins website. I would recommend using his personal email address. I'll give that to you right now. I don't know if Derek's going to like this or not. It's yeahjeets@hotmail.com.
Yes. Is that Y-E-A-H?
Yes. Yeahjeets@hotmail.com is his personal email address, and you should be able to contact him that way.
And this is where autocorrect can get you, because Martin and I yesterday were texting back and forth about TV, and he texted me something about what should we do later tonight, and I responded, yeah, Jeets, so I thought, but then of course Jeets autocorrected to Sheets, so it said, yeah, Sheets,
yes, Jeets.
Then I felt the need to send back with a little asterisk, you know,
yeah,
Jeets, And I just found that funny, so I sent it to Chris Gardner. I thought he'd appreciate the fact that I tried to get in the Yeah Jeets. It became Yeah Sheets, but then I still made sure he knew I meant Yeah Jeets.
Yeah, you sent that to me, and I chuckled.
Why is Charlie sending you something about sheets? I've taken it to the HR department. Don't worry.
We were deciding which count is best when you're getting a good sheet.
Count.
Yeah, you want to have a good count there.
And then you say, no, he meant to say, yeah, Jeets. Well, what does that mean? There's so many...
Just it's almost like you say, it's not worth telling you. It's just not worth explaining.
So the flashbacks that we're having, we're not to the town hall necessarily that St. Louis hosted when the Rams were escaping St. Louis.
Dog and pony show.
Yeah. Not that necessarily, even though Big Al kind of relates to Marlins Man there. But I was having flashbacks to the Board of Aldermen committee meeting, the Ways and Means committee meeting that lasted like 3 hours that they held on the riverfront, where they were going to build the stadium, the new stadium. Because person after person is taking the mic, and I was just sitting there going, man, this is why part of the reason why we don't get things done in St. Louis. Because someone grabs the mic, and next thing you know...
Let Francis Slay, what he needs to do is fix all these potholes in St. Louis and not build a new stadium.
We're trying to build a stadium here, trying to create commerce... And there's some guy up there talking about potholes. There's always a pothole guy.
You're not wrong, though.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
Are you going to be pothole guy someday?
Both things
are you
going to
be at a Glendale meeting yelling about potholes?
Look, it's not a neither or. I complained for years. Now, look, I'm no longer a Brentwood City of Warmth resident. I'm now a resident of Glendale. But for years, that Manchester strip of road around Brentwood... Just some ridiculous potholes.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That happens in the West End right now. Normally because they're digging up and building all over the place, though, too. So they just put down, you know, these metal plates for like a year or so, and then decide to come in and fix it later. Thanks.
Hey, we got Shack. I don't give a damn about your pothole
problem.
That's
a mess. That intersection is a mess. There are cars parking that are and like trying to find spots that aren't even spots. You can't even get through the intersection right now. People just walk out into the middle of the street. A lady, two people were leaving there last night. I was making a right on a green, and they're just walking across the middle of the street. Not used to,
taking pictures.
I took the hand up to hit the horn, and I didn't do it, but I was cursing in the car. This is not going to end well, guys. I don't see this having a good ending between me and Shake Shack.
It is funny, though, because we all complain about potholes.
Yeah.
Not publicly, but then think about it. If you're an older dude... And you're retired, and you have nothing else to do, and you've been ticked off by potholes for 30, 40, 50 years, you finally hit that breaking point where you are going to go to the public meeting, and you are going to actually complain.
You're right.
I get it.
So that meeting, to clarify, was about getting an NFL team to stay and to build a billion-dollar stadium, and it devolved into this guy.
You had pothole guy.
Pothole guy.
Let Francis Slay, what he needs to do is fix all these potholes in St. Louis. And not build a new stadium.
He wasn't the only one, though. There was a guy called the Marxist. He got up there, too, that day.
No. This is what I'm going to say, and this is what I have to say, and I'm going to say it. Would you turn off that mic for a minute?
They had to cut the guy's mic.
That sounded like a Seinfeld scene.
Oh, he dressed like a Marxist. And then you know what?
Kind of like Woody Allen in the movie Bananas?
About a year later, I'm sitting in the corner of my local watering hole, and who walks in?
The Marxist.
But the Marxist. And I just stared at him. I'm like, what the hell is he doing here? Then he sat down, was talking to a friend. I moved closer, actually, to try to eavesdrop and hear what they were talking about.
About the revolution?
Yeah, that's why I was concerned.
He had the Communist Manifesto?
Yeah. You could tell he's a Karl Marx guy.
I'm picturing the
religion is the opiate of the people. He's got these kind of doctrines going on.
What does a Marxist wear? Slacks.
Skinny type jeans.
Tweed jacket.
Work boots. Has a job where he's like does independent weird jobs around the neighborhood, maybe.
Who were the jackbooted thugs that tried to get him away from the mic? Same guys that dragged out the Jimbo Fisher objector?
It was the same guys, the Rams security personnel, that made sure that Stan Kroenke went to the restroom in Minnesota all by himself, and they guarded the bathroom so nobody could get in there and ask him about moving the team.
Might have been Doug Vaughn's greatest tweet ever.
Yes, I agree with that.
They do a good job, those security folks do.
Those guys are actually really nice guys. I felt bad for the fact that they had to be kind of looked upon as the thuggish bodyguards for Stan. Because those are the same guys that would take all the trips with the Rams, but they had to be kind of Stan's guys that day.
They're on P duty. Not what they envisioned, I'm sure.
Hey, Frank, good to see you. I'm just taking a leak over here.
You heard this new...
Don't worry, I'm just going number one.
You heard this new spot on our station?
Oh, yeah, very Welch's.
The juice?
Yeah.
Is loose?
It, listen to this one. This is pretty good.
He's proud of himself.
This winter, help keep your immune system healthy with Welch's 100% purple grape juice. It gives your body the boost of vitamin C it needs. Welch's is 100% grape juice with no sugar added. Ever move over orange juice. Get the power of purple with Welch's grape juice. Farmer owned, family grown.
Pretty good, huh?
I can't tell if that's an old grandma voice or if it's a Smurf
or a pothole guy.
Or if it's sort of a German-infused, you will enjoy the juice. Welch's.
Move over, orange juice.
It's Gardner. Did you know that, Chuck?
I did because he played it for me yesterday. I knew he was very proud of this, so I'm not surprised that it made its way.
It was fun to make. I got a few other voices I'm working on, too. You guys have inspired me with all your... Like, I get asked to voice over some stuff, and my only rule is I don't want to talk regularly.
So let me ask. Did they ask you to do a different voice for that? Or you just kind of suggested it?
I just started doing a different voice, and I didn't even know what I was doing.
It's really disturbing.
I'm like, if I'm going to sit down and do this, I'm going to at least have fun with it.
I like it.
You and Peyton Manning got a future. Animated film work.
Going to give you one more thing here in the grinder. And back to the Billikens for just a moment. We know there's a Title IX investigation surrounding...
Looming.
Yeah, the basketball team impacting about... four members of the basketball team. Let me give you a status update. The comments period, which they were on, ended last Wednesday, so that's all done. The investigator, the outside counsel, her name is Maureen Holland. She's from Philadelphia, an attorney from out east, who was involved in the Baylor sexual misconduct investigation as well. Interesting enough, Ms. Holland is serving as the interim Title IX coordinator for Baylor University currently. So, I mean, there's been some delays in the SLU investigation. You wonder if she might have had a little bit much on her plate at this point, considering that she has taken that role earlier this month. But it is now in the hands of the hearing officer. The investigation part is done. The final report has been issued. The hearing officer has it. There is a bit of a problem, though. It seems as though, at least right now, this could change. The indication is that this will drag into January when it's supposed to be completed. I try to within 60 days. Most are done before that. I don't know how many go to 90 days, which we are approaching now with the SLU investigation, which to me personally, this is opinion. They've dropped the ball at this point.
Does seem to be layered with red tape. We've gone from the comment section and now we're into the review and then the process.
They're saying that the delay could be here because of the semester holiday break.
Sure.
But you've treated this process differently from the beginning by going to an outside counsel. If it wasn't basketball players, you wouldn't have done that to begin with. If these guys are such a threat, why are they on campus attending classes? One of them is still playing, obviously. There are four players involved. One of them is still playing. You've treated it differently from the beginning. Why wouldn't you treat it differently to avoid delays even more at this point? You have to figure something out. It's on the university now. The investigation is done. It's in their hands. You can fix this yourselves. It's on you at this point. One thing I've learned about Title IX, don't ever associate the words due process with Title IX ever. Read the guidelines. Read what's behind it. Due process is not part of what goes on with Title IX.
And our understanding is the players who've been sitting out, you don't get those. If they say you're innocent, we have found this process, you don't get those games back. It's not like you redshirt for a semester.
Yeah, I don't think so because, I mean, they're not playing because of the school, not because of Title IX. So that's all. It's on the university.
I would be with you in saying that I think it's going to drag on. Chris Gardner all over the SLU drama. One of our great sponsors is...
Bertarelli Cutlery. Folks, you've heard us talk about Bertarelli Cutlery for years now, one of our most loyal sponsors. They've opened a whole new division of their company called Bertarelli Paper Co. Their warehouse just a few blocks from the store on the hill down there, 1927 Marconi. Now the fine folks at Bertarelli sell disposable gloves, trash can liners, all kinds of paper towels. They now sell to manufacturing plants as well as all the restaurants around town. So if you're in the need for any of these items, check them out at BertarelliPaperCo.com.
Offenburg Hyundai, the place to go for your next vehicle. Short ride from downtown St. Louis. They've been selling Hyundai since 1989. And because it's the Offenburg name, that means you're going to get that great service before, during, after the sale. Customer satisfaction high on their list of values every single day. Pre-owned vehicles, great selection on the lot, and if you happen to know what kind of car you want, your make and model, Matt Offenburg and his team will find it for you. OffenbergHyundai.com, in person, O'Fallon, Illinois. It's the Greenmount Road exit, about 10 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The Hardline coming your way next. We'll see you tomorrow from the Wheelhouse as we get set for the Bragging Rights. Congratulations.